So what does God's word really say about drinking alcohol? Are we allowed to drink it at all? Should we totally abstain from all alcohol? And what about the constant question of tithing? Are we required to tithe? That and more today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know what today is? You know what? April 15th is what today is, what's happening in schools across America. You know about the bill that just passed in California? Oh, all right, we'll fill you in. We'll tell you what's happening. And above all, you've got questions, we've got answers right here on the Line of Fire. This is the day when you can call in with any question having anything to do with any of our areas of expertise, Bible, Bible translation, theological controversy, ministry-related question, controversy, moral issues, Israel, Jewish people, apologetics, and we'll be glad to do our best to give you solid biblical answers and provide a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. 866-34-TRUTH. That's the number to call. 866-348-7884. I invite your call if you take issue with something I've talked about this week, want to raise a response or challenge me on something I've said. I promise to politely listen and to politely answer. That's 866-34-TRUTH online. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, I'll tell you about what's happening in the schools shortly. I will answer some email questions. But first, the continuing saga with Amazon and a queer thing happened to America. I don't mind people reading the book and bashing me. I don't mind people who haven't read the book and bash as long as they'll be held accountable for not reading the book. Hey, look, you're not going to write a book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and discuss the effects of gay activism on society and does God have a better way. You're not going to write a book like that without controversy. I understand that. I understand that. The problem is this. When unethical things are being done, when things are being done contrary to policy, that is a concern, and I'm in the midst of a serious discussion with Amazon about this very thing because perfectly good reviews have been pulled, and we've looked into it. We've had managers look into it. They've gotten responsible. They were only pulled if they violated certain policies or were abusive. That's not the case. That's not the case. So we can trace things, friends. We can trace it. I'm not a conspiratorial type of person. You listen to this show for 10 years, and you're not going to hear me talking about the Illuminati trying to take over the United States in an alien invasion or whatever else, okay? I'm not blaming everything going wrong in the entire world on Masons, okay? So I am not one of these conspiratorial people. However, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize when something wrong is going on. And it is critically important that we confront that so that light will shine in darkness when an Amazon manager tells me something fishy is going on. And then I speak with them again, and they said, well, the official response from the people who oversee the reviews on Amazon.com is that only ones were pulled that violated policy. We know them because I read some of them, and they disappeared. Some of them were written by people I knew that were early readers of the book. And I read the reviews, and the reviews are perfectly fine. They've disappeared. Those people have contacted Amazon. Amazon has no explanation. It's never gotten back to them. Ooh, it looks like a nerve is being hit. It looks like something is happening. And this is where we don't try to intimidate, but we speak the truth, and we confront, and we expose, because one of the premises of the book is that our freedom of speech and freedom of conscience is under assault, and we're watching it happen in front of our eyes, where some opinions, it appears, are simply not welcome. So if you haven't weighed in yet, Amazon.com is the place to go. A Queer Thing Happened to America. Go there, friends. This is a little journey on. We're on together. And okay, today, what is it? Day of silence in schools. Hundreds of thousands of kids, middle school, high school, being silent during class the whole day. Why? To stand up for the silencing of gays and lesbians. It's a day of gay activism in our schools across America. More to come. Your questions when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today, this Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. With your questions online, ask drbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Before I go to the phones and e-questions, my junk mails of the week, the worst junk mails, I mean the silliest. One is from Good Luck, and it was, have a nice day. Yeah. Then there was Asia Pacific Lottery Organization. Your email address has won U.S. $1 million. Didn't cast it in yet. Then another one from Gold FFF74, re-gold dust for a sell. Gold dust for a sell. Then from Jamal, stop order from the presidency. What is stop order from the presidency? The president of Nigeria wants to personally contact me. And then this is a good one for me, Dr. Michael Brown. Online doctorate. Put doctor in front of your name. And then how about this one from Muhammad Musa Ali? Attention, my good friend. All right. That almost tricked me. And then this one from Ali El Baradei. I need your assistance to move this money out from Egypt. Boy, that one almost tricked me too. And then Reverend Dr. Richard Bruno. The agent has arrived in Orlando, Florida with package code, and it gives the DHL. Oh, yeah, just give them all my information, Social Security number, and they'll send it to me. And then Mr. John Frederick, still at an international airport needing help, as he has been for several weeks. Don't get duped, friends. Do not get duped. Okay, Deanna asked this question. What does God say about drinking alcohol? What about in small amounts? Should Christians not drink at all? To be honest, I'm having a hard time giving it up completely. A glass of wine or beer a few times on the weekend, is this wrong in God's eyes? I struggle because one piece of scripture says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, excuse me, who am I to decide the definition of a drunkard? Perhaps one glass of one beer gets a person tipsy, and that is drunkenness to God. Another verse states that church leaders should not have much wine. Please advise. It's controversial. I want to be obedient to the Lord. Counsel from other Christians varies depending on denomination. All right, I'll be as concise as I can. I totally abstain and have since I have been saved. Why? Well, I drank to get drunk before I was saved. I didn't enjoy drinking. When I got saved, I gave up drugs and drinking. I've never drank since. It's 40 years. I've had no reason to. And as a leader, I think it's a great example to set. Now, I work with people around the world, in Italy and other countries in Europe, where we're having a beer or wine with meal is no different than you having a glass of soda with a meal. I've never seen them drunk or have more than that or be tipsy ever. So I'm not making a universal condemnation of others. But I would say this. You cannot argue that the Bible calls for total abstaining. You cannot argue that, because even if drinks were somewhat fermented differently, still wine could make people drunk. We know that from examples in Scripture. Beer could make people drunk. Strong drink could make people drunk. So when the Bible talks about moderation, or a leader shouldn't have too much wine, or Timothy should drink a little wine for stomach's sake, even if the fermentation was different, whatever, you cannot argue for total abstaining based on Scripture. I think it is a great thing to do because of the drunkenness in our culture, and because someone follows your example, they see you drink, they think it's okay for them to drink, and they get drunk. And that's happened many times, and people have backslidden because of that. For that reason, among others, I personally totally abstain and feel it's a great example to set. If you're having a hard time breaking free, then break free totally. I would say for you, if it's any type of a bondage, Oswald Chambers said, make it your habit to have no habits. I would say if there is any type of addiction, bondage, need, relying on it, then break the habit totally by God's grace and power. You can do it. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Word of God is in you. You can do it. You can overcome. You can be free. And then if it's perfectly fine for you at a later time in a non-addictive way, non-troubling way, to have a glass of wine or beer or the meal, that's between you and God. If you're a leader, I would caution you because of the example that it sets, but that is simply my viewpoint as a leader. I cannot lay that on anyone. Yeah, kings shouldn't have wine, they drunk, you know, that could be an example. Priests couldn't drink, with certain temple functions, that could be an example. I can't be dogmatic about it. It is my own practice. And within our school of ministry, from the day you enroll to the day you leave, including breaks, you're not allowed to drink. But that's just a policy and a discipline that we have. We are not laying on that on you for the rest of your life. That's between you and God. That's just a policy and discipline we have within the school. That being said, I have seen people really glorying in the fact that they can drink, and now they're going out and getting drunk and getting tipsy, and that is stupid. That is license, not liberty. We don't have liberty to sin. We have liberty from sin. So let's carefully make that distinction, okay? Let's not look for opportunities to feed the flesh. Let's walk in discipline and self-denial. Isn't that part of the gospel calling? And in that, we find the fullness and a blessed life flowing with it. One last thing. A drunkard is someone who habitually and willfully continues to get drunk and practices that. That's a drunkard. If someone is practicing that, like many other sins, they give evidence that they are not walking with the Lord and therefore will not inherit his kingdom. We need to pray for such people to repent. All right, let me go first to Josh in College Park, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. All right, hang on. We'll get back to Josh in a second. Let's go to Reverend Tom in Boston.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Well, I just want to tell you, I completely concur with just everything you've said from the top and even your program yesterday that I was listening to. I have not read your book, so I really, therefore, can't make an intelligent and honest assessment of it. However, I do concur completely with what you're saying, and it was very interesting what you had to say about people who had made comments favorable to your book, maybe on Amazon, and then their comments were deleted or they somehow disappeared and Amazon has no rebuttal for that. The interesting thing to me is that not long ago I had an occasion to participate in where you could post a comment on Yahoo. And the forum happened to be about Catholicism, and the article that was the lead was having to do with the molestation of the little children throughout their church. And I made a comment very, not a terrible comment, but it was just to the effect that I had grown up as Catholic. I'm no longer a Catholic and hadn't been for 43 years. But I grew up in a diocese that did have child molesting priests. Fortunately, mm-hmm. I wasn't exposed to them, or if I had been, nothing happened to me. And that was really basically the gist of what I had said, and Yahoo would not print that.
Wow.
And so then there was another time where it was something about Islam and about the wanting to the people who want to build the mosque in New York, and made a comment about a book I had read by, I wish I could say his name, a former terrorist. He was on Sid Roth's program last night. Maybe you might have mm-hmm. caught that. I don't know. But he's now a believer and follower of
Hey, Tom,
Jesus.
I'm looking at the clock, and I'm getting close to a break here. I'm sorry to jump in, but what you're about to say, though, is that you're having posts that are politically not correct, that
correct.
People aren't
that, that is exactly right.
Yeah,
and you
there's
can't
only
do
one
that
side.
Now.
Yeah, there's only one side to the story.
Unless you are in agreement that Islam, the Catholic Church, and everybody else is just fine.
Yeah, there. Whatever the sides are, we're seeing this extreme intolerance in the name
yes.
of tolerance, and it's only going one way. Hey, thanks for weighing in. Continue to stand strong for the truth. I appreciate that. Real quick, Josh in College Park, Maryland. Got a break coming up, but what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to encourage you and I tell you I appreciate your ministry here. I had listened to you on Greg Zett's web site the other day in one of the sermons you preached there, and that's a church I've been visiting. So, but I wanted to let you, you know, as far as that post goes, you know, I'm a Washington Post online reader, and I see a lot of posts regarding the, the homosexual agenda and things like that. And it does appear that, as I blog every once in a while when I see a story, that they do go back in erase, especially the radical homosexual activists, they do go back and erase any positive comments or anything related biblically, even though they you know, they may or may not know what you're talking about. They seem to erase it pretty quickly. I went back to one guy that was blogging, and I think I had my post erased within a minute or two, and I had to go back.
That's amazing.
As far as the marriage, we will.
Hey, Josh, I've got a break coming up, but Josh, we will get the truth out because the truth cannot be silenced. And the more people work to silence us, the louder, more clearly we'll get it out. And here's the biggest thing. We're speaking on behalf of God's truth, and no one can silence the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. All right, back with your calls right here on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, during the last break, I just read yet another note to me from Amazon with completely bogus information. We're getting emails from folks saying, hey, my review was pulled, and I happened to read the review, and they were perfectly good reviews, legitimate reviews without a single offensive syllable in them. They've been pulled, and Amazon says, no. The only way they get pulled is if they violate our policy and or if the author himself asked for them to be out, which, of course, is 100% false. So very, very interesting. We continue to confront lies here. In Jesus' name, truth will triumph. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So the bill now passed in California. It is now law in California for all schools to celebrate the contribution of gays and lesbians to American history. That's right. And you'll find out some famous figures, they'll start claiming were gay themselves, perhaps even President Lincoln, perhaps even President Washington. And whoever they, or perhaps Eleanor Roosevelt, or whoever it is, they'll now want to celebrate this person as gay, and it's mandatory in the schools of California. On our watch, this happened, friend. On our watch. And Jesus hasn't come yet to rapture us out, has he? So we're still here. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Let's just go right into the question. My question is, it's pretty simple, I guess. I just want to biblically, and two, what your opinion is on whether or not, like, spirits or evil spirits or whatever, they can actually read your thoughts, biblically what they have to say about it. And then, whether they can put thoughts into your head.
Right. I'll give you my views on that, Joe. On the one hand, only God knows the heart of a human being in terms of knowing who they really are, what really motivates them, the depth of their being. But I see absolutely no reason why there cannot be reading of thoughts by spirits and why there can't be planting of thoughts. How many of us, just out of the blue, have had some ugly thought, an angry thought, a lustful thought, an unclean thought of some kind flood into us? We recognize it's completely from the outside. It's not who we are. We reject it, resist it in Jesus' name. When the Bible says submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee, a lot of times that's just an internal posture that you take. It's not even words that are spoken, and you resist the devil. I know there are people who argue that the devil can't read our minds. Some of them have a lot of experience with Satanism and things like that, but I just don't see scriptural evidence for it. And I myself, just in terms of my opinion, I've had issues where there's a demonic lie or thought hits my mind, and I rebuke it in my mind, and there's a dialogue back and forth, and then victory comes, and I feel as if it's very real. Temptation is often planted on the inside rather than the outside, and then our own lusts and desires go in the way of that temptation, and that's when we sin. So, yeah, but I believe that thoughts can be planted, that doctrines of demons and those things proceed in people's thought lives. So the enemy has access there, and I see no scriptural reason to say that they can't read our minds. That being the case, I'm not paranoid about what demons know. My concern is my life right in God's sight? Because he knows everything. He knows a trillion million things that no devil or demon will ever know. So that's my concern, is that God knows my thoughts. Therefore, how should I think? How should I live? All right?
So, yeah, so scripturally, it doesn't say one way or another, but for your personal experience, you feel as though yes.
Yeah, well, not only so, when you have, like, lying spirits putting thoughts in people's minds, you know, in the days of King Ahab, when deceiving spirits were sent to put wrong thoughts in the minds of the prophets, they received that like internal inspiration, as if it was the Holy Spirit speaking. I don't believe it was all verbally, outwardly spoken. So I see no scripture against it, and I see scripture pointing in that direction, that they can plant thoughts and even read our minds, and experientially that seems to be confirmed as well. Okay?
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Joe. God bless you, man. Yep. 866-34-TRUTH, John in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you and your program. In fact, today's program I bought because here I thought I was pretty tense with my phone.
Hey, John, hang on. Your phone, Joey, let's find out what's up with John's phone because I'm unable to hear him. He is cutting out there, so if I'm unable to hear him, John, stick with us. Something is the matter with your phone line or connection because I can't hear you. If I can't hear you, I can't answer you. AJ in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing? I have two questions. When the scriptures tell us.
All right, hang on. I'm sorry, AJ, but can't hear you either, AJ. I'm not sure what is happening on the phone lines here, but we will get to the bottom of it ASAP, so stay with us if it's on your end. Hopefully we can get you to call in on another line, and if it's on our end, we'll get that fixed. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, one of the most constant questions that we get asked has to do with God's triunity, the deity of Jesus. How are these things explained? Is this idolatry to a Jewish person? Is this monotheism to a Jewish person? In my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 2, I spend a lot of Volume 2 dealing with that question, what I refer to as God's complex unity. And I use traditional Jewish sources to shed light on this as well and then open up the Hebrew scriptures. Today, you can get hold of Volume 2 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, together with a two-hour debate, Dr. James White and I, debating Sir Anthony Buzzard, Mr. Joe Good on the Jewish Voice broadcast. I tell you, this is an eye-opening debate. If you have any question as to which side is right, the side that argues for the deity of Yeshua and God's triune nature, or the side that just says he was a glorified man, this debate should settle it for you. Every week we think, what are some resources we can get your hands at a reduced price? Today's will really help you with the issue of God's triunity, the deity of Jesus, and especially from a Jewish perspective, the debate and the book together at especially reduced price. So give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for today's special resource offer. And again, just a shout out of appreciation to those who are praying for us, to those who are able and willing to stand with us financially, our torchbearers. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Together we are making a difference. And I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. There are many exhortations in the Bible to us to remind us. The end of 1 Corinthians 15, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Galatians 6, in due time we will reap if we don't faint. So there are a lot of things. You might be praying for lost loved one. You may have a marriage that's breaking up. You may be battling terrible disease in your own life. You may be standing for social justice in your community. You may be running into evangelistic hurdles and obstacles. Don't be weary in well-doing. Take refuge in the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Get your eyes off everything else and focus on him for a while and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in your inner being. And a strength comes from there. Hope will rise because our God sits on the throne and his mercies are new every morning.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We are here on the line of fire taking your questions. You've got questions. We've got answers. 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. I am going to go straight back to the phones. Hopefully we fix some of these line connections with some of our callers. AJ in New York City, let's try again. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You sound like a new person.
I had a question about the, you mentioned something earlier about the Illuminati, and when God tells us about putting on the form of God.
All right, actually, AJ, you don't sound like a new person. Very bad connection, and it's rough on our listeners. So if we can't get that resolved, shoot us an email. We'll try to address things. All right, let's try John in Boston again. Is this line better?
Yes, I hope so.
All right, sounds good so far.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call, and I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. I always thought that there was only one name that you could be saved under, and that was Jesus' name. Only one name on, and but when you taught a couple weeks ago on a Thursday, you said that national Israel, Romans 11, all will be saved. And it came to my mind, how could they all be saved if they're not going to profess Jesus' name and believe he's their Lord and Savior?
No, the answer is we're talking about at the end of the age, Romans 11:26, the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and so on the heels of that, or provoked by that, all Israel will be saved. There will be a final turning to Jesus, Yeshua, of that last generation. We don't know what the numbers will be, what kind of remnant it will be that remains of our people, how God will orchestrate it, that there will be a national turning. But just as for the most part there has been a national turning against Yeshua for the last 2,000 years, the scriptures indicate that our people will turn back. The prophets say that God will be God of all the families of Israel at that time, that Jesus says he won't return, Matthew 23, until Jerusalem welcomes him back. So one way or another, through the orchestration of God, that final generation of people, Jewish people, will turn to Jesus and be saved. Salvation is only through him. There is no other salvation, no other way for a Jewish person to be saved outside of the same faith in Yeshua that saves a Gentile.
Oh, that's great. So national Israel will be saved by proclaiming Jesus' name. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's...
And one
that's...
more, and let me just piggyback this because it's been prevalent around Boston area. There's a lot of evangelical theology that teaches Jesus is Israel now. And how do you look at that as a heresy, and where can I come against that with Scripture?
That all the promises to Israel are fulfilled in the person of Jesus,
yes.
The land promises, the temple promises,
yeah.
The people promises, and that being in him, we are now the new Israel. The first thing to do is just read through Romans 9 through 11 very carefully and notice how Paul ultimately makes a distinction between the Gentiles and Israel. He does not say that the Gentiles have become Israel, rather that saved Gentiles are to provoke Israel to jealousy. And do you have my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood?
Oh, I bought it. I ordered it yesterday, and the television.
Okay. When you read through that book, especially chapters 12 to 14, that'll answer things for you with glaring clarity. That's one of the reasons I wrote that book. Okay, John?
Okay. Blessings. Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Thank you for calling and hanging in there. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. One line open if someone wants to try to squeeze in. I get asked the question of tithing constantly, and I've answered it many, many times on our later broadcast, but because many of you listening now are listening to Line of Fire only for the last month, the question, are believers in Christ required to tithe, considering there's no command in the New Testament to do so? My response is very simply this. I do not find any scripture that says that we are required to tithe in the New Testament. I personally find it to be an excellent practice, giving the first fruits to the Lord and to the local assembly, and making that a discipline, making that a way of life, and making a fixed amount, a great practice. I highly recommend it, strongly encourage it. Is it required? No. Recommend it highly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we do our best to address your questions. You've got questions, we've got answers. If you can't get through to us by phone, then you can email us at askdrbrown.org. Click on contact or weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You know, I'll be out on the road and I'll tell folks about something. I said, you got the e-blast, right? And they'll say, no. You didn't know about this? No. You didn't get this resource, free resource? No. You didn't know about these messages that were off? No. You didn't know we were speaking here doing this? No. Oh, why not? You didn't get the e-blast. So go to askdrbrown.org right on the homepage and sign in. Take you 10 seconds. Just type in your email address and we will get it sent out. You get on our email list and be among the first to get the good stuff. All right. Peter in Staten Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I am an activist, Dad. I'm a Christian father. Unfortunately, I went through a divorce, and doubly unfortunately, the court system here in New York, as in most states, if not all, is extremely unfair to dads. Now, the problem is, number one, the judges do not apply the law equally in court. For instance, child support is supposed to be an equal formula. I'm not going to go into it. Basically, my question has to do with, what is my responsibility as a Christian father to be an activist, to sound the alarm? For instance, Hebrews, pertaining to the gospel, says, how are they going to know unless we tell them? Now, the people in church say, let God battle for you. Okay, that's all well and good, but when does God battle for me? When I sit still on my knees and I never say a word to anybody about what's going on? Or after I contact all my politicians and I tell them my plight of woe pertaining to my lack of time with my children and my poverty that the judge has pushed me into because he's not fair with the child. What do we do as dads in this society, as Christian dads, who want to have a regular relationship with our children, but my church, the pastors don't want to get involved, people don't want to help. Nobody cares, it seems. So what do we do?
Yeah, Peter, I'm sorry to hear about the situation, and to be separated from your kids much more than you want, it's got to be gut-wrenching. I would say a few things. First and foremost, we do fight in prayer. That's not a secondary thing. That's a primary thing. Luke 18, crying out for justice, crying out for God to do what's right, crying out for God to reverse the wrong. That's the first thing that we do. Get people to pray with you, believe God with you. You yourself fast, cry out, seek the face of God. That's the first thing. The second thing is, out of that time in prayer, by all means, we're called to do what's right. The New Testament calling for us to be salt and light speaks of us doing good deeds, speaks of us being a moral conscience. The New Testament calling us to good works, which include, for example, in James, Jacob, the first chapter, include visiting fatherless and widows in their affliction. That means that we're called to actively do what's right and also to fight for justice. All of the calls in the Old Testament for justice, for righteousness, they haven't gone away. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. So doing what's right and living that out in society is part of our role as believers. But you have to be sure that you do it not in a fleshly way of anger and retaliation. Again, James, Jacob, chapter 1, the anger of man does not accomplish God's righteous will. And it's frustrating. It's difficult. Injustice bothers me deeply when I see people getting away with things that are wrong. But ultimately, we start in prayer, and then we take action as much as we're able to. And it may be a cause that God helps raise you up in to get other dads who have been discriminated against by the law, if that's the case. That
well,
together you can start to raise a voice.
What you just said is correct. Upstate this weekend in Utica, upstate New York, is going to be the first ever of its kind here in the state, as far as I know, given by a civil rights attorney, Leon Cozio. It's going to be at the Utica Hotel, or Hotel Utica, upstate New York. Unfortunately, I can't make it because I'm too poor. I can't make it. However, there are other dads who are crying out to their churches and to their synagogues. They want to be in their children's lives. Unfortunately, the court pushes into a position of
being called a deadbeat because they push us into poverty. Most dads don't walk away on their own. We're not deadbeats. We really, I don't know
yeah.
if this is the time.
You know,
when the
Peter,
hearts
and Peter what,
are going to be
yeah,
back to the
Peter,
children.
Peter, what often happens, Peter, is that the courts see a lot of abusive cases, see a lot of deadbeat dads, see a lot of dads that are not fit to be with their children and may have a certain predisposition towards that. And in the midst of making some good decisions, they make some very bad decisions. That's why, first, fight it on your knees, and then, second, look for people of like heart. It's pretty easy to connect on internet these days. And if enough voices are raised, then that can help shift things in the right direction. Hey, grace to you, Peter, in the midst of the situation. Thanks for calling in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Maria, and where on Long Island?
Hi, hello?
Yeah, where on Long Island are you, Maria?
Well, I'm in Freeport, but I still go to Full Gospel Church of Oceanside.
Full Gospel, all right, hang on, just this doesn't happen every day. I got saved.
I know
in what
it
was
doesn't.
Called,
I know.
I got saved
I know the
in what
story.
Was called, yep, the rest of our listeners don't. I got saved in what was known as Springfield Assembly of God in November, December of 71. It's actually not an Assembly of God church. That was the name of it, which then moved to Long Island and became Full Gospel Church of Oceanside. So this is the place where I've got my spiritual roots, where these many dear Italian Pentecostal believers patiently prayed me into the kingdom, despite my arrogance and craziness in those days. So praise God. Nice to hear from Maria. Thanks.
Praise God. You probably know my husband, the DeCroce family.
Of course I do. You bet.
I know. Well, anyway, I came in late on the call, so I apologize if you might have answered this question. But, you know, I heard you say something about, you know, recognizing gay people in history and actually acknowledging them and, you know, bringing them up and on the forefront and, you know, putting them out there. And, you know, I agree with the whole gay thing. I don't believe it's right. Obviously, it's an abomination. But on the other hand, I feel like God has given people talents and abilities no matter what. And God could use a rock, for goodness sakes, you know. And I feel like if a gay person has contributed to society, why shouldn't we recognize that regardless if they're gay or not?
Yeah, a few things. First, I'm all for recognizing anyone's contribution, whoever they are.
Right, like I said, I apologize if, you know, because I came
in late.
No,
but what it is
it's
a school bill that was passed in California that now makes it mandatory in all school curriculum for the children that they highlight, let's look at the contribution of Black Americans to our history. Let's look at the contribution of Hispanic Americans to our history. Let's look at the contribution of Native Americans to our history. Now it is mandatory that they will also look for contributions of gay and lesbian leaders as exemplary models for our kids. That is a complete outrage. You know, nothing less than a complete outrage, Maria. It has nothing to do with saying, hey, this guy, whether he's gay or straight, was a great business person. It is to specifically look for people and then to celebrate their sexuality, which is not the issue. And you're also celebrating something and a behavior and identification that is contrary to God's order, as opposed to Hispanic American or Native American or an African American. There's nothing moral about that. You're taking something where someone lives something out morally, and then a lot of it, the people are dead, so it's disputed. They're not around to say, hey, I wasn't gay. It's been rewritten in history. So it's the school bill, which is completely abominable.
Okay, I hear you. Like I said, I apologize, and I didn't get
no, that's
it straight.
Okay.
I only heard the last part, so I agree with that. Like, we shouldn't, like, you know, Mexicans, Black, you know, African-Americans, they should, you know, whatever contribution they did, but this is not a cultural thing. This is a sexual thing, you know?
Exactly.
So I agree with that. It shouldn't be out there. And because I was, like, a little bit like, what is this guy saying? You know?
That's what this guy was saying. So now we're clear. Hey, say hi to your family for me, okay?
I will, Mike, and hopefully you'll come, Dr. Brown, excuse me.
Oh, either way, I'm Mike to you guys.
I know. I'm holding your book, How Saved Are We, right now. I loved it.
Thank you. Yeah,
now,
hopefully
I hope
we'll
see you in, well, we're in Island Park now.
Really? All right. Awesome. Well, let them know that it's always my joy to visit the church. All I have to do is
I
let me know.
I hope you come soon.
All right. God bless you. Thanks a lot.
All right. God bless you. Praise God.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I hope you don't mind the family reminiscing, but it's not every day that I get calls from people whose family knew me before I was saved. If you want verification of the stories of how lost I was when I first went to these meetings to pull my best friends out and what my behavior and attitude was in those days. Just talk to the people from the church, some of them still alive and with us that are very old now, but helped pray me into the kingdom years ago, and then others, my peers, can attest for it. Listen, friends, if God can save me, God can save anybody. If God can have mercy on me, an idiot, foul, rebellious, heroin-shooting, LSD-using, diesel-gas-huffing sinner, and make my life worthwhile to help other people, he can save anybody. Don't be discouraged as you're praying, as you're crying out. Don't be discouraged. Hey, we'll be back with Call of the Week and some of your calls right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, check this out, friends. I was just looking at Amazon to see what's up, and suddenly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 reviews have just mysteriously reappeared. What do you think of that? Could it be that truth is triumphing this quickly? Fascinating. Yeah, these were all perfectly good reviews that were pulled for no good reason, and suddenly they have reappeared. 866-34-TRUTH. Come on, if you haven't ordered your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, go ahead and order. Go to Amazon.com, order the book, and find out what all the controversy is about. Trust me. By God's grace, this book is going to awaken the conscience of many people. Before we go back to the phones, a call of the week having to do with the subject of revival right now.
Let's begin with Jay in Fairfax, Virginia. You are a minister. What's your take on this, sir?
Well, the most pressing need for America right now is revival. Several years ago, I was involved with a group of pastors in Florida at a Florida Idea Exchange, and we began to explore several questions over a three-day period, but the main one was, is the tide of revival out in America? And we never got off that subject for 3 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that the larger churches and in America and in the church in general, we have scheduled God out of our churches. We have time for programs. We have time for all types of other activity. But when it comes to time for repenting, setting aside our lives in order for him to not come in and take part of what we're doing, but to come in and take over what we're doing, we seem to not have that time. And the interesting thing was the lead pastor there, it was at a very large church in Florida. He ended up clearing his schedule and had a plead for people to begin to pray, and revival broke out in 1993. This group was in 92. Revival took place for about 3 years there, and I and another pastor from our church moved here to the D.C. area to begin to pray for revival, spiritual awakening, and community transformation. And as we began to pray, we saw a move of God, but the interesting thing was there was a point at which I saw that begin to wane because people said, we want our church back. We want to be able to end our church services at a certain time, get to the football game. We want to do life as usual, and God's getting in our way. And the Holy Spirit tends to stay where he's welcome.
Yeah, I found Jay's comments to be right on. The need to put prayer first if we're that hungry for God, if we're that thirsty for God. then why don't we prioritize that? And do we have room for God's moving? Questions I think we all need to consider, don't you? If we really seek him, what could happen? What could happen if we turned off the outside distractions and really went after God? What indeed could happen? Allison in Brooklyn, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you. Well, my question is concerning the prayer shawl, the tali.
Yes.
I wanted to know what does it stand for and should Christian utilize it today? I'll listen off the air if you don't mind.
All right. Thank you, Allison. Okay, so she's asking about the Jewish prayer shawl, which is called the tallit. It goes back to the commandment in Numbers and Deuteronomy to make fringes or tassels on the garments. They were to be what was called a royal purple or blue, associated with royalty or even with priestly ministry. And when they would look down at the fringes, the tassels, which Jesus wore, where it says that the woman touched the hem of his garment with the issue of blood, it should actually say she touched the tassel in his garment, because as a religious Jew, that's who he would have dressed. So they had these four-cornered outfits that they would wear, more robe-like than our outfits today. And they would have tassels on the end of them. And when they look at them, that would remind them to keep the commandments of God. Over a course of time, the Jewish leaders said that we can't find the dye that we need to make this color called tichelet. And it was from a particular snail called the chilazon. We can't find this anymore. And therefore, instead of this royal purple-blue color, we'll just have white fringes. I don't follow that tradition in terms of accept the validity of it, but that was the reasoning behind it, which I understand. And then because the garments changed, a religious Jewish man under his clothes will wear what's called a talit katan, a small talit, under his clothes all the time with the white fringes hanging out. And then in certain public services will then put a prayer shawl on, and the prayer shawl also has the fringes to remind of the commandments. And then it has a Hebrew prayer on it, blessing God who commanded us to wear these. If Christians feel a connection with God using it, that's fine. If they find a connection with Israel using it, that's fine. If they believe there's some mystical value to it, that's misguided. If they believe there is somehow a power to it, or everyone should do it, that's misguided. But if someone feels either connection to God or Israel using a prayer shawl, fine. Just don't use it feeling it has some kind of special power or that everyone should do it. As for Jewish believers doing it in a Messianic congregation, that's part of their being a Messianic congregation and further identifying with their people, and for many doing something that's very sacred in their own lives. I would just say, though, that if you're in a setting where it's offensive to people, then it's best for the sake of liberty to do this in private and to seek the Lord in private and pray with this, as opposed to doing something that causes public offense. Hey, just another reminder, if you've got questions about the unity of God, his triunity, the deity of Jesus, what about Jewish objections to this? How do we explain this? Get hold of my book, Volume 2 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, which focuses on theological objections, with a terrific debate on Jewish Voice broadcast. Dr. James White and I teamed up together to debate Sir Anthony Buzzard and Mr. Joe Good. Is Jesus truly the eternal Son of God or just a glorified man? A phenomenal resource, the DVD and the book, at a reduced price today. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the special resource package that'll help you understand God's triunity, the deity of Jesus. You'll find the resources rich. Thanks to everyone who contacted us about Amazon. Perhaps truth is being restored right there, as legitimate reviews that were pulled have now been restored. Oh, let that be a foretaste. My bottom line, I want to reiterate, if God is for you, no one and nothing can be against you. I want to reiterate, if you put your hope in God and hang on and keep hanging on, in the end, you will not be disappointed. I want to reiterate that light will follow darkness and the light will never dissipate. Have an awesome weekend, friends. Together, we are making a difference. Change the world. Did God save people differently in Old Testament times than in New Testament times? And what about a religious Jew today? Does that person have another way to be saved outside of Jesus?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, do you have some great questions already sitting on my desk. It's amazing. After almost 40 years in the Lord now, there are questions that come in every week that I've never seen before. Well, listen, get your questions as well over the phone, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers right here on The Line of Fire. Some important updates for you as well. You can communicate with us on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And a resource offer that I think will really bless you. We'll let you know about that later in the show as well. Okay, important update. We have really been pressing Amazon graciously but truthfully to say, hey, what's happening to perfectly good reviews that violate no policy and that are not objectionable in any way? They're getting pulled. Completely bogus reviews that violate every policy, basically, are up there. We've had people tell me something fishy is going on. I spoke to someone else yesterday, and they're baffled. Well, I just was checking because I'm monitoring this with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and lo and behold, in front of my eyes, a whole bunch of reviews that had disappeared suddenly came back. Amazingly. Wow, out of the blue. Oh, and now some bogus ones are reappearing. I'm just watching this in front of my eyes. Some bogus reviews that are completely in violation of policy. They're also getting restored. But, hey, at least they're restoring the accurate ones. Not all, but a bunch. Fascinating. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, Greg sent in this question to me, and I want to get to it immediately. Hello, I was listening to your show on WNIV in Atlanta yesterday. He sent this in last Thursday. And heard you ask a young woman who had converted from a life of admitted debauchery, including lesbianism, gluttony, alcohol, etc., if she lived a schizophrenic life or blessed life. Would you please explain the nature of that question to me? Schizophrenia seems to be a very vague term, and I'm struggling to understand its meaning as well as the meaning of your question as it applies to someone like many people who have converted to Christianity and continue to struggle with sin on a daily basis. Thank you. Greg, thank you for asking the question. Let me clarify it. I was obviously not speaking about a medical condition of schizophrenia. What I was addressing was this. This caller said that she came out of lesbianism, and which was just another expression for her of a debauched life, and that now that she's a follower of Jesus, she's married, and if she has a same-sex attraction, she resists it the same way she resists gluttony or alcohol use or anything else. Now, there are gay activists who would say she's not being true to herself. She's suppressing her real self. Deep down, she really is same-sex attracted. Deep down, she's really a lesbian. Deep down, she is schizophrenic. And that's why I said to her, are you living a schizophrenic life? In other words, in this constant tension, I'm this, no, I'm this, no, I'm the other, no, I'm back and forth. Or is she living a blessed life? And she quite plainly said a blessed life. So here's the deal. Every one of us, in one way or another, has to deal with some sin that seems to be at the core of our being. Sinful desire, sinful attitude, expression of sinful nature. But it's not who I am. It is not who I am. Who I am is a child of God, a follower of Jesus, devoted to him, wanting to please him, serve him with every fiber of my being. That's who I really am, a born-again man who loves the Lord. Now, on the flip side, I may be tempted, I may be pulled, there may be things that seem to be at the core of who I am that are wrong, that are rotten. I resist those and say no to those in obedience to the Lord. And if I yield a wrong thought or attitude or word, I immediately repent of it because that's not who I am. And I say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, and I move forward. Who I am is a child of God wanting to please him. The other things are distractions and pulls away from who I really am. That's the point I was after. Back with your calls right here on The Line of Fire.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For those of you who wonder why we draw attention to certain social issues, it's because we love God and we love people. How about that? Love God, love your neighbors yourself. That's what we're called to do. Loving our neighbors ourselves means we love this generation, we love the next generation. So we stand for certain things, even if they're unpopular, because they're right in God's sight, and they're part of loving God and our neighbor. 866-34-TRUTH. We've got some phone lines open, which is often not the case here. So now is a great time to get in. If you've got a question, anything to do with our areas of expertise, Bible, Bible translation, theology, practical ministry, practical living for the Lord, moral, social issues, Israel, Jewish people, apologetics, you call in with your toughest questions, things you're really dealing with. We'll do our best to give you sane, biblical, solid answers. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, as always, AskDrBrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire, you'll have a list of other relevant resources with today's program as well. Today, talk to your kids. Could you do it if you got kids in school, public school, middle school, high school? Would you talk to them and ask them if the Day of Silence was celebrated in their school? Would you do that? You say, what's the Day of Silence? It's a day where perhaps several hundred thousand kids in schools all over America will be silent during the day, and do their best not to participate in class, unless insisted that they do. Why? Solidarity with the, quote, silencing of the gay and lesbian community. Yeah, you say, well, it seems that gays and lesbians have a lot of say in the society, and Kobe Bryant uses a foul slur and has to immediately apologize, gets fined $100,000. It seems there's enough gay and lesbian voice to, yeah, well, Day of Silence, and it's a day used to put forth propaganda of a moral issue, the brain just stopped working there. Propaganda that touches on moral issues will be put forth in the schools on the Day of Silence, sometimes the whole week. So as I ask about that, and if you live in California, you know about the bill that just passed, which will now say not only in the schools must we look for and celebrate the contribution, say, of Mexican Americans or Black Americans or Native Americans. Notice those are all ethnic qualifications. But we will now look for and celebrate specifically by name, by orientation, gay and lesbian heroes in American history. And we will discover who is really gay and lesbian, at least we think they were. And we'll now teach your kids this as role models. The bill passed. The bill passed in California. It's passed, friends. It's law now. Uh-huh. In California. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start with Dean in Tampa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you very much. My question was, I've just recently been exposed a little bit to dispensational theology, and I wasn't real familiar with it, and I was just curious your understanding of it and if that approach was rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, sure. There are many folks listening that are dispensationalists, that are fine brothers and sisters in Jesus. There are dispensationalists I've worked with around the world and continue to. I was saved in a dispensationalist church, so I have good roots in that sense and many friends who are dispensationalists. However, I don't believe it is scripturally accurate. I don't divide over it, and I believe there are strengths to it, but I don't believe it's accurate. The concept of dispensation starts with the idea that there were different ways God dealt with the human race through history, beginning with Adam and Eve, the age of innocence, then after they sinned, the age of conscience, and then once you have law instituted, the age of law, and then Jesus comes, it's the age of grace, and then there'll be the age of the kingdom. So these different ages are dispensations. That's where the concept comes from. And the biggest view, and this view is pretty much unheard of, despite efforts to argue to the contrary, pretty much unheard of until the mid-1800s when it began to surface and then became very popular when C.I. Schofield put it in the notes to his Schofield Reference Bible. It became wildly popular. And then in the Jesus People movement, when I got saved, late 60s, early 70s, Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth made it very popular yet again. And then the Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye series Left Behind, best-selling Christian novels, have also made it very popular again. So many, many people are familiar with it. Some think it's the only particular view. But it basically says this, that God is dealing with the church right now, not with Israel. He's dealing with physical Israel regathering. But this is the church age when, and this is kind of a parenthetical age. He's dealing with Israel. Now, big parentheses, the church age. Then at the end of that, he'll rapture the church out secretly, which will then be followed by a seven-year tribulation where he begins to deal with Israel again. And then many Jews will be slaughtered, but many Jews will be saved. And then that will usher in the return of Jesus, which is separate from the rapture, and establish a thousand-year kingdom on the earth based in Jerusalem. I do believe that there'll be a thousand-year kingdom on the earth based in Jerusalem. I am a historic premillennialist, but I don't believe in dispensational theology. One of the biggest reasons is that, without question, the time that we will be delivered, the time that we will be rescued, the time that we will be caught up to meet the Lord is the same time that he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God, as laid out in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. When Jesus comes and puts an end to wickedness on the earth and establishes his kingdom, it's the last trumpet, it's the great trumpet blast, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, it's at that last trumpet that we are gathered up to meet him. So there will not be this sudden secret departure where we're driving our cars or flying planes and suddenly we're out of here. It makes for dramatic movies, but it's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is Jesus will appear in glory. We'll be caught up to meet him and escort him back to the earth. And as far as what about, you know, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth? Yes, but God can protect us from his wrath right here in the earth. The strengths of dispensationalists are that, all right, hang on, we lost Dean on the line there. But Dean, the strength of dispensationalism is it really puts a lot of emphasis on the return of Jesus and believes in the return of Jesus and recognizes the prophetic nature of the modern restoration of Israel, but it makes a wrong separation in terms of Israel and the church and God's dealings, and it makes a wrong separation between a rapture and a second coming. That being said, I have dear friends, I'll repeat it, who are dispensationalists. We have worked together for years. There are people I've worked with for years, and I don't even know where they stand on it. I can honestly tell you, folks I've worked with side by side for 10 or 20 years, I don't even know what they believe about it, because we pursue winning the lost, we pursue making disciples, we pursue living godly lives, and we long for the return of Jesus, and we do that together without dividing over these issues. But that's my answer. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's see here. Let me go to Dale in Greensboro. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Once again, I appreciate your ministry. I listen to your show because you actually know what you're talking about, and I appreciate that. I was calling about the new book that Vincent Bugliosi put out. I know you're familiar with him. The Helter Skelter guy.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I needed to be reminded of that. Right, got it.
Okay. I was hoping perhaps you might be familiar with the new book that he has out, in which he says atheism is stupid, but he also says the same thing. And this is what I'm saying. He uses different words, but he also says that so is Christianity and religion in general. I heard him last night on the Alan Cohn show, who I'm sure you know is a Jew, who he says he's an agnostic. And at any rate, and I'm going to say this as quickly as I can and let you go ahead and respond, I feel sorry for he or anyone else who decides to wait until they get on the other side to meet God, which we all know the best time to meet him is here and now.
Right. As C.S. Lewis said, there are two classes of people in the world to come, those that have said to God, thy will be done in this world.
Yeah.
And the others to whom God has said to them, okay, thy will be done. Dale, what's the author's name again?
Vincent Bugliosi.
Okay, got it. And do you know the title of his new book?
I do not.
All right, I'll check.
If you Google his name,
I'm sure I'll find it, and if I can't spell the name, I'll Google Charles Manson Prosecutor.
I said, I know you're familiar with the Manson
And the Helter Skelter. Yeah.
And whatnot. He was the lead prosecutor there.
Yep. You know, I'll just say this, Dale, and thanks also for your kind words about the show. Hopefully we're one of a bunch who know what we're talking about.
No, but, I love you a lot, and
but thank
you,
sir.
You're doing. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah, let me just make this quick comment. Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist for whom we pray, made the comment, wrote the book God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. My friend Frank Turek, in responding to that, said, no, everything poisons religion. If it's true religion, according to God's ways, honoring him, living for him, pleasing him, serving him, then human beings bring a lot of junk into that and pollute what James Jacob refers to as true religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. That's in James, the first chapter. Religion itself, religious systems themselves, they do a lot of damage because they're man-made. But the truth about God, as revealed in Scripture and personified in Jesus, is glorious and wonderful and holy. And I say to everyone who doesn't know, taste and see, not religion, but the Lord, taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll be back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you just tuned in, as we have been pressing Amazon about the missing reviews, five-star reviews that started mysteriously missing from A Queer Thing Happened to America for no good reason. We've been graciously pressing them. Manager's telling me something fishy's going on. Suddenly, they all just started appearing, along with some really bogus bashing reviews. But that's okay. I mean, they disqualify themselves, the bashing ones, and the good ones outweigh them like 10 to 1, so that's fine. But just fascinating to watch this. I don't want, listen, persecution, opposition, being maligned, being attacked. Come on, there are people having their arms chopped off for the gospel. Having people malign you on Amazon is no big deal. But it was a concern to me when we're sending everyone there to order the book and to write reviews when legitimate reviews were being pulled for no good reason. That's what we felt to press. So stay with it. Your voice makes a difference. Don't get frustrated. Yeah, I got a little frustrated with this just because it was so bogus, but we just prayerfully stay with it so that truth triumphs. And people. And we're basically saying you're not going to silence people. You're not going to silence people. If they're writing their views and not violating any guidelines just because someone doesn't like it, you're not going to silence people from speaking the truth. It's a good lesson learned. And by the way, we're going to have to fight a long time for the truth to triumph in certain key issues. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you don't faint. 866-34-TRUTH online. AskDrBrown.org. Okay. Back to the phone, starting with John in Anaheim. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, hello. Dr. Brown.
Yes, you're on the air. You're on the air.
All right. I just want to thank you for publishing this book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I recently bought a copy. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was actually wanting to see if I can hear your thoughts on something with regard to church history.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I was looking at how the whole idea of sola scriptura, which was, I think, started in when Martin Luther had separated himself from the Catholic Church. And I was just thinking that seems to be the cause of many divisions and denominations which were not part of the early church. The early church seemed to have a oneness in mind with regard to certain doctrines and teachings, like the Eucharist, like what qualifies a group of people as being the church. Now it seems people can pick up the Bible and make a certain interpretation and totally call themselves the church, when in reality they're just starting social clubs or something.
Yeah, John, let me comment on that. And I'm just I've got to jump in. Your call sounded perfectly clear to our call screener, but we're just having a problem with some phone lines today. We don't know what it is, and it's a little bit hard for everyone else to hear you. So I'm going to respond to you, You won't be able to comment back for a moment, but I'm going to just jump in and respond. John, I actually see it kind of the exact opposite. There's no question that in the early days among the believers, Paul, Peter, they're dealing with false teachers. They're dealing with schismatics. They're dealing with people. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 13 to 15, that they claim to be true apostles but are actually servants of Satan, that Satan can come as an angel of light, and therefore so could they. So there are constant warnings about deception in the New Testament. There are constant warnings about schisms and divisions. So this was something that was dealt with. The appeal, though, was ultimately to the Scriptures. The appeal was ultimately to the Scriptures and then to the letters that these apostolic leaders wrote. There are many different groups. The Catholic Church claims to have a chain right back to the beginning. Greek Orthodox claims to have a chain right back to the beginning. The Assyrian Church claims to have a chain right back to the beginning. So you have all these different groups that have existed before Martin Luther, John, that all claimed to have the truth and the revelation. And in fact, they were competing. So Sola Scriptura is just back to the way it was, that Jesus constantly appealed to Scripture as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. That's how Paul built his case. And then as the New Testament writings were recognized as Scripture, that became the foundation. And that's the only way I can test a tradition to see whether it really is in accordance with the Word of God. Now, that being said, there are always going to be counterfeits, and there are always going to be misguided people and misguided groups. And ultimately, God alone knows all of those who are part of his true assembly, true body, which is the same in the first century. But to me, Sola Scriptura is the only possible sane way to evaluate truth from error. It's the Word of God, not later church tradition, that separates truth from error. But thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Susan in Jacksonville, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Listen, I have a quick question, and am I feeding back to you?
No, we're good.
Okay. My question is this. The online, you know, everybody's talking about May 21st is a judgment day, that's the end of the world. Well, in China, they did the same thing 10, 15 years ago. Everybody sold everything. Everybody gave everything away, and the next day, they were all still here. My problem is, how are these people going out and telling everybody that Judgment Day is going to be on May 21st, and what happens if it doesn't happen?
Yeah, how Susan, it's really, really tragic and pathetic because you've got some well-meaning people who are caught up in this
But how many
deception.
People are going to lose faith?
Ah, that's why it's so tragic. We invited Harold Camping himself, the teacher who is misleading multitudes. Thankfully, it's a small multitude compared to the people that don't believe it. But he's misleading countless thousands or tens of thousands of people and making a mockery of the gospel. He would not come on the air with us, but his office wrote to us. I have a whole show. If you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Just look for May 21st or search back to actually third week of March is when we did the program. You'll be able to find it where we devote a whole show to this issue. But the bottom line is this. He said this is a fact. This is established fact. This is going to happen. There's no dispute. So he's laid it out so clearly that what we have to do is put a net out which is ready for these people who are going to crash and fall, because some of them are going to lose faith entirely. Some of them are going to think Jesus is false, the Bible is false. And what we need to do, any person that we actually know who holds to this, Susan, we need to say, listen, we will all know. Put in writing how sure you are. Put in writing what's definitely going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, and we're all here, it means the Bible is true, but you were misled. And we're going to have to help these people because they're going to have a major crisis. And worse still, the media is going to pick up on this and make a mockery of the idea that there is a judgment day. So it's affecting a small group of people, but that small group number is in the tens of thousands. They're seriously deceived, and we need to tell them every day, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, because no one knows the day or the hour, and this is based on bogus teaching by someone who's deceiving the body, Harold Camping, right now. We need to prepare
exactly.
them and then be there for them on the other side and say, hey, Jesus is Lord, but Harold Camping was wrong. Back with more.
Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
Save the
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So just a reminder, friends, it's April 15th. That means today is the day of silence, day of gay propaganda aggressively being put forth in thousands of schools across America, middle schools, high schools. If your kids are in public school, ask them, was the day of silence celebrated today? Ask them about the propaganda that went forth with it. Ask them about the meaning of this. If you live in California, I mourn with you over the bill that was passed that will now mandate that every school teaches, celebrates the contributions of gay and lesbian Americans in American history, just as the contributions of Mexican Americans and Black Americans and Native Americans are celebrated. Now people of a particular sexual orientation or alleged sexual orientation, because many of them are dead and can't dispute it, they're going to be celebrated for that in your kids' schools. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And again, the update, as we had many five-star reviews pulled on two separate days from the Amazon website for A Queer Thing Happened to America. We've been pressing Amazon about that. During the day today, I noticed it went from 53 reviews to 69. A couple of bogus one-star reviews were restored. That's fine. They disqualify themselves with the nonsense that they write that are unrelated to the book. But good review after good review after good review that was pulled for no good reason. We pressed Amazon on this. They claim, well, it violated no guidelines. I just find this fascinating because we're watching it on the computer. It's like, whoa, there it is. And then more appeared, then more appeared, then more appeared. And they're telling me there was nothing fishy going on. Others said something fishy is going on. I'd love to shine the light on situations. And just fascinating. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got questions. We've got answers. Okay. This is a fascinating one from John. Then I'm going to get to as many calls as I can. A lady on my worship team was wanting to start selling some oils as a natural alternative to medicine. Someone showed her Exodus 30, verses 32 to 33 in particular, but 20 to 33, about the anointing oil and that it was not to be used on human bodies. She recognized some of the ingredients from the product she is wanting to offer. She always wants to pursue the Lord's ways and now has concerns that it would be a sin to sell these types of products. I read the text, looked at my ESV commentary, but don't have a clear answer for her. She requested that I send you a note to see if you have any thoughts or direction on this. John, fascinating question, and I don't know that I've been asked this. So someone has these oils they're preparing, medicinal oils, natural alternative to medicine, I guess, to be applied your body for sore, pain, whatever it is. And some of the ingredients are the same as that was, which was used for the anointing oil, and that was only to be used for sacred purposes. If she was manufacturing the exact same oil, that was specifically used in Exodus, those specific ingredients, exactly those and only those, you might ask, even though we are not under that command now without a physical tabernacle standing and laws pertaining to that for us, you might just feel a little funny about it, okay? You might just feel a little funny about it. That being said, I would, if the fact that some of the ingredients are the same, don't be troubled at all. God put these things in the earth for good reason. She's not doing anything defiling. She's not doing anything sinful or wrong. And if these things can be used for good purposes, great. That is certainly part of our liberty. So I, with everything I understand about Scripture, say to her, don't be troubled at all. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. I don't have time to take another call this moment, but quick note from Patrick. Dr. Brown, I'm on chapter 5 of your book, Queer Thing Happened to America, so I don't know if you covered this yet or not. I saw an advertisement for a show on HBO called The Family is a Family is a Family. The advertisement was very disturbing, complete with kids talking about how it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies as long as you have love. Hey, that's the argument we're going to deal with all the time. If you love each other, what's wrong? We have to say the family is not only about love. There are things that a family requires to be a family. All right, back with your call. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You've got questions. We will do our best to have answers and bring a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, always, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for our e-blast. This way we can keep you posted on things. You can also get into the discussion on the Line of Fire. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. All right, James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling today.
Yes, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
I started reading your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, this past week while I was doing some traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by the introduction in that book, and it just upset me, the depravity that was evidenced there. And, you know, you did a great job of just being very objective in reporting the facts of it, but the impact it had on me was just, it was very upsetting because for people who haven't read the book, it implicates President Obama in the gay agenda in a way that I was totally unfamiliar with. And I'd just like you to explain, why did you put that in there?
Yeah, well, I'm glad it had that impact on you, James. And first, for our president, we pray for Mr. Obama. He made it very clear before he was elected where he stood. We talked about it on the air early on where he stood, and there were many people who didn't believe it. He made clear he was going to be the most gay-friendly, gay activist president in American history. And to a certain extent, he's really been faithful to that. What happened was the book sketches from June of 1969 to June of 2009, a 40-year period. The introduction is from Stonewall Inn to the White House. So what happens is, first with gay activist riots in Stonewall Inn in New York City, cross-dressing men, transvestites fighting against the police, riots break out. They feel they've been arrested one too many times. So it's out-and-out riots. 40 years later, celebrating Stonewall, celebrating these riots against the police, President Obama has 300 gay activists come to the White House, says this is your house, assures them that they will see their goals realized, and commends in particular an old man named Frank Kameny, a man whose pioneer spirit and courage I admire, whose moral values I deplore. Frank Kameny, and says, we're grateful for your leadership, Frank. Frank called me on the Line of Fire last week, and in his own words, and I quote them in the book, but he brought them up on the radio show. According to Frank, this is going to be very offensive, so brace yourself, folks. Frank Kameny, gay activist pioneer commended by our president, says that the God of the Bible is a sinful, abominable, homophobic bigot who needs to repent. He even added in one extra word beyond what I quoted him in the book. So, this is the reality. This is the fact of the matter. This is the reality. From Stonewall Inn to the White House, we need to wake up and see the handwriting on the wall.
Amen.
And recognize that, hey, what world? I'm thinking our oldest granddaughter is 10. That means in 10 years, she could be married. I was married at 20. That means, you know, in 11, 12 years, she could have kids. I could be a great grandfather. What kind of world are we handing over to our kids, grandkids, great grandkids? And the church must wake up. We cannot put our head in the sand. We have to wake up, reach out with love and compassion to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and resist the activism. The word I received, reach out, resist. Reach out to the people with compassion, resist the activism with courage, and it will take courage to resist the activism.
Really?
Well, God bless you, man. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks for writing that book.
Yes, and keep reading it. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Anne in Largo, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Can
Hello?
You hear me all right?
Yes, I can, but speak up. You seem to have
okay.
A very quiet voice.
Okay. I had a question as far as the May 21st thing with Harold Camping. It could be possible that someone's thing is going to happen on May 21st, but it's not going to be the Lord's coming. It could be that he's the false prophet who's going to validate the beast man. Did you ever think of that?
I don't believe God, because he's saying that we will be raptured out of here, and that is not going to happen on May 21st, because
No, right.
So whatever happens will expose him as being a man falsely prophesying and falsely
right.
teaching
unless,
and deceiving the body.
Unless it really is the beast man, unless Satan's man comes on May 21st and he validates him as Christ.
Tell you what, Ann. I have a library worth tens of thousands of dollars that I've accumulated over the last 40 years. It's so big it take a small library to put it out. I'm going to bet my whole library on the fact that it ain't going to happen. There is too much that the scriptures speak about that has to happen
even before those things unfold.
Forget about it. Pray for those poor people that are going to take a bad fall on that day, that they won't lose their faith entirely.
No, hang on.
I'm just talking to guys in our studio. I'm not gambling. I was making a point. All right, guys, I'm not gambling. I'm making a point. Thanks. Go ahead, Ann. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to say, as far as your book is concerned and as far as what you're trying to say, you got to expect opposition from the enemy and his seat. That's just the way it is. Christ expected it when he said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Why did he say that? Because he knew that Satan and Satan's seed would come against us.
Yeah,
That's what you were talking about, the false prophets, and from the very beginning up until now.
Yeah, and Anne, in point of fact, I've literally washed the feet of martyrs, widows. I've been with people who are facing death for the gospel and people who've been tortured for their faith and been in life-threatening situations overseas preaching. This is when people said to me, Mike, when you take these things on, someone may attack you. I said, and? I said, well, no, someone may really hurt you. I said, and? I mean, this is what we signed up for. And by the way,
your
average gay lesbian person out there is not going to be attacking anybody, but there are in every group, whichever the group is, you got people that are off the wall. You got people professing to be Christians who are off the wall. You got atheists who are off the wall. You got gays who are off the wall.
God has his people. He has and knows the good ground.
Absolutely.
We don't know where the good ground is. Only he knows.
Right. So we sow the seeds.
What you're doing and what a lot of other people are doing is trying to sow that seed in the good ground, wherever it is, all across the world.
Yeah, and the fact is the word doesn't return void. And if God could save someone who is as abusive and ugly as I was 40 years ago, he can save anybody. And let me just say this. The junk that's coming our way with this book, it's nothing so far. This isn't even the calm before the storm. As God uses this book, then things will break loose, and that's why we heart ourselves in the Lord. But, hey, Ann, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
God bless you, brother.
All right.
God bless you.
866-34-TRUTH. Hang in there. I'll try to get to some more calls. Damien had an interesting question. Dear Dr. Brown, in Leviticus 14:34, God says he put a spreading mildew in a house. If the house is infected with a destructive mildew, the house must be torn down. Rashi, who is the foremost biblical commentator, just to fill this in, foremost Jewish biblical commentator, lived from 1040 to 1105. Rashi says that the Amorites hid treasures of gold in the walls of their houses. So Israelites who moved into the Amorites' houses with mildew were actually blessed. My question is it really true that the Amorites hid treasures in the walls of their houses? So in other words, the Israelites now dig out the walls and find out all these treasures are there. According to everything I understand, that is 100% a tradition. That is 100% a Jewish tradition and nothing less. There's no evidence for it, no ancient evidence for it, no evidence whatsoever that gives us even a hint of this being true. Just like the church has traditions, the synagogue has traditions as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Jason in Jacksonville, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Brown, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, I had a question for you about Old Testament apologetics. I had a conversation about Rob Bell's book that actually spun into somebody disputing the fact that the Old Testament and the Bible are both archaeologically and anthropologically justified. And he brought up Akkadian cruciform to try and shed some doubt onto the veracity of the Old Testament. And he had a bunch of people, I believe, were Jewish religious scholars to kind of back that up. He talked about James Kugel and people like Israel Finkelstein. I was wondering if you could talk specifically to the veracity of the Old Testament and any resources you could recommend in regards to that.
Sure thing, Jason. First, James Kugel is an Orthodox Jew who would not attack the veracity of the Old Testament. He would read it through traditional Jewish eyes, but he's a traditional Jew. As for Akkadian, that's one of the languages I studied when I was getting my master's and PhD at New York University. So you have Akkadian historical documents, but none of them would disprove the veracity, reliability of the Old Testament. one really good book written by one of the world's most respected Egyptologists. His name is Kenneth Kitchen, and it's called On the Reliability of the Old Testament, about 600 pages. But not only does he take this stuff apart, he dismantles it almost ruthlessly, because people come in with a lot of presuppositions. So right. You're always going to have archaeological historical issues to verify this or that, because archaeology has to be interpreted, understood. But Kitchen's book, On the Reliability of the Old Testament, Kenneth Kitchen, one of the world's most respected Egyptological scholars and ancient Near Eastern scholars, that book will really help you. On the Reliability of the Old Testament. Okay, friends, back with Call of the Week, your calls, and more email questions right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us as we seek to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, equipping you to stand for God, equipping you to make a difference. I want to say this plainly and clearly. Together in the Lord, we are making a difference. Go against the grain. Swim against the tide. Follow Jesus. You will not be disappointed. 866-34-TRUTH. You've got questions. We've got answers. Rob asked this. Shalom, Dr. Brown. I need a definitively scripturally based answer to the questions. How were the Old Testament Jews saved? Well, we know starting with Genesis 15, Abram believed God, that was accounted to him for righteousness, that faith, which was then confirmed by good deeds, was the way that salvation would come. Israel was required to be obedient to receive covenantal blessings. They'd be judged with curses. But someone was made right with God first by faith and then by a lifestyle living out that would please God. Galatians 3 says that Abraham believed the gospel, the seed of the good news, that through his seed the entire world would be blessed. What about today's Jews who follow Torah, rejecting Jesus but are still awaiting Messiah? If they are rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting God. Jesus said, if you knew the Father, you would know me also. Jesus said that if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Paul wrote that when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted. Otherwise, there's a veil on the heart. Paul also wrote of blindness that was on my people, Israel. Listen, I am dear friends with rabbis, with counter-missionaries, dear friends, some very passionate people. Paul would describe them as having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Those were the very people the apostles preached to in the book of Acts. Those were the very people that Jesus, Yeshua, dealt with in the Gospels. There is no salvation outside of believing in the Messiah. Why? Because we cannot be saved by our own works, because we all fall short, because none of us are good enough, and therefore we need sacrifice, we need atonement. It only comes through the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. I'm not the judge of every Jewish person, Gentile person who's ever lived in history. I can say, if anyone rejects the Messiah, anyone rejects Jesus, they are lost. There is no other way, no second covenant. Nowhere does the New Testament suggest there is. And just remember, the book of Acts, that is a battle, that is a dispute in-house between the Jewish people over who Jesus is. And a religious Jew like Saul of Tarsus had to come by the way of the cross. Here's another call of the week, this from Emery. Take a listen. Emery in Jamaica, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your show and your stance and courage to stand on the word and the truth, all given in love. I had called to respond to your question regarding ever being called intolerant, and just in the book. In the post office a short while ago, someone called me a professional bigot as I began to, they started the discussion in regards of homosexuality in America, and I shared what the Bible teaches. And in that context, just began to say, well, then that means that you're one of those professional bigots.
Wow.
And I was taken aback, to say the least.
Now, Emery, were you using vile words and terms and profane speech and using name-calling when you talked to this person?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in the context of the discussion, the question was asked, did I feel that homosexuality was wrong? Shouldn't everybody be able to live the way they want to live? And asked me, would I take into consideration the way people are born? Some people are born that way, with the way that the discussion had come. And I shared that, you know, all have been born into sin, shaped in iniquity. But we have to make a choice about whether we want to serve the true and risen Christ or not. And if whether we're engaging in heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, then it's sin. And so, again, sharing it in as loving a way as I thought that I could, not, as you mentioned, not calling any names, not speaking forcefully. But that was the response. And I agree with you. I think that tolerance, or intolerance, I should say, is a buzzword designed to say, be quiet and let me do what I want to do. And more so, it, I think, becomes, it's intolerant that I think it's an intolerant approach for someone to continually say, yes, you're intolerant without any sort of discussion on it.
How fascinating that a gentleman who is soft-spoken, clearly reasoned, because he says, I don't endorse homosexual practice, is called a professional bigot. You know what we're going to do? We're going to overcome intolerance with the love and grace and goodness and truth of God. We're going to overcome hatred, bigotry, lies with the character of Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Hey, Amanda, I'm not going to be able to get to your call or other callers right now. You've got questions about refuting a Jehovah's Witness. I'm happy to talk about that another day. One of many helpful books, you can order this online, Ron Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. That and many other titles will be helpful, but this is one of a number. You can order this online. Again, Reasoning from the Scriptures with the Jehovah's Witnesses. My apologies to other callers that we're unable to get to today, but always you can write us at AskDrBrown.org, and we're able to respond to many of those emails as well, some of them on the air too. A special resource offer today you don't want to miss. You ever have questions about the nature of God, Trinity, triunity, the deity of Jesus? Is he God or isn't he? And how to explain this to a Jehovah's Witness? How to explain this to a Jewish person? We've put together two important resources that will really be eye-opening and very helpful to you. Every day, our team, we look at things. What could we make available at a discount to our listening audience to be a help to them? And then as you buy these things, you're also helping us reach more people through the Line of Fire and raise up missionaries, send them around the world, reach the Jewish people with the gospel, stand for the truth in the midst of a decadent society. So we're doing this together. Here's the resource, these two. Volume 2 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, which deals with theological objections and spends a lot of time on the question of the deity of Jesus and triunity of God and those things, and brings in Jewish perspectives as well. Fascinating. It was a fascinating journey for me to write it. Along with my two-hour DVD, together with Dr. James White, our debate with Sir Anthony Buzzard and Mr. Joe Good about, is Jesus the eternal Son of God or just a glorified man? You can get those by calling 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, to take advantage of today's special resource offer. If you'd like to become a torchbearer, monthly supporter, give a one-time donation, that same number, 1-800-278-9978. Or you can write to us directly with a contribution to help us reach more people at P.O. Box 5546, Concord, North Carolina, 28027. My bottom line for today, God is never shaken. God is never moved. God sits on his eternal throne, working out all things according to the purpose of his will. Keep your head, your heart, your mind focused on the throne of God, and fear and worry will be a thing of the past. Change the world.